some of the trends that we're seeing in regards to CRM at Ovum. I just want to be very clear. I'm not William Hague. He's speaking downstairs at another event. So if anybody is confused, you can go look for the Conservative Association banner. I think it's somewhere outside. And he actually is speaking here tonight, believe it or not. I like to think I'm a better draw. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just give you a highlight about who I am and a little bit about Ovum. I have been covering the contact center and CRM market for coming up to 12 years now. And to my mind, when I consider a little bit about how this industry has evolved, there's a lot of interesting facets that I want to try and cover off in the next 15 minutes or so. You know, Ovum is a premium business information and analytical house. It's an organization that covers many different facets of different industries and different services. And CRM is becoming more and more prominent in terms of what we're doing, in terms of what we're looking at, and in terms of the inquiries we're getting from organizations across verticals in terms of how they can manage their relationships better with customers. So I want to do a bit of a time travel exercise. And I want you to think in your mind, 30 years ago in 1984, 1984 was a pivotal year for many different things. If you were to think to yourself in 1984, what did CRM mean to you? Just imagine it, 30 years ago, CRM. What were you doing in 1984? You probably weren't thinking about CRM, but if you were, that's probably what it would look like. Now, just cards on the table, I went on to Google Images, and I typed in CRM 1984, and this was the first image that came back. And to my mind, it speaks volumes. What you see is a lot of paper records. You see a few old computers, people working on telephones. And what were they working with? Well, they were really working with people calling up. They were working with people who might have a concern, a query, they wanted to find out a little bit of information. You would call a general telephone number you found in the phone book. And once you did that, you'd probably get a receptionist who would try and route your call to a particular department. And that department would do its best not to pick the phone up and not to handle what you were looking for. But eventually you might get through, you might get your answer, you might get your query satisfied. And as I was doing these slides up, I thought to myself, well, in 1984, it wasn't just the telephone. CRM also included post. And how many times would people write a letter? How many times would people send that letter, take about a week for the letter to get to the particular business that they were trying to find out information from? I mean, I say it's a week in Canada, where I'm from. I know in the UK, the post is much more efficient. It'd probably be 1 or 2 days. But then once the letter arrived, it would be routed to the particular department. Most junior level of staff would get the letter to answer, they would send it back, and the whole thing might take a week or so. And by that time, you've probably forgotten the question you had in the first place. So what I'm trying to get across here is that 30 years ago, CRM was a responsive way of doing business. It was all about responding. Someone who was a customer would contact you, or a prospective customer would contact you, and you would try and answer them. Now, going forward, what does it mean 30 years later? CRM in 2014, customer relationship management, has a much different way of looking as I see the world. Effectively, if you take a look at CRM today, it's an integral part of any enterprise. It's seen as a way of managing consumers better. And it's not just managing them over the telephone, I was just talking before. And by the way, I'm just going to forsake post. Nobody sends letters anymore to businesses. It's really quite rare. But they call using their landline. They might also send an email. It's becoming effectively as pervasive as what you would find in terms of telephone calls, in terms of penetration within different enterprises, how they manage their customer interactions. Quick show of hands, how many people here have done a web chat session in the past 6 months with an organization that they were interested in doing business with, or they were already doing business? All right. See, we've got a lot of people. It's becoming more and more pervasive across age groups. Text messaging, while it's limited in terms of its functionality as a CRM method, is a great way to try and push out outbound notification, to try and let your consumer base know about what's happening within your enterprise. Social media, I mean, this says it all.
there's so many networks and there's so many people on networks, and they're insisting on contacting enterprises with which they're doing business from a CRM standpoint to issue a complaint, to ask a question, to try and find out more information about a particular product and service. And probably one of the most exciting ones is video chat. It's become more and more common now for people to use video chat with their computers or mobile devices to interact with each other. You might be in Montreal contacting your cousin who lives in Minsk using a video chat and think nothing of it. Well, then why would you not want to interact with an enterprise that you're buying a product and service from using video chat as well? The technology is there, the application is there, and it can be used in a business context. And the bottom line here is that more and more organizations are using all these different channels to drive customer relationship management satisfaction. They're using it as a way to interact and to collect information. So really, CRM today is not just about response like it was 30 years ago. CRM today is now all about driving customer satisfaction. And I want to talk about customer satisfaction in the importance, in the context of its importance in the UK right now. Now, Freda, Joe, you guys are going to recognize the next slide, I think, from previous roles. Every year, I manage a survey of enterprises, and we ask them all sorts of different questions related to CRM. And one of the most important questions we ask is, how important are a series of goals in terms of the operations of their business? Now, if you were to ask this question maybe 10 years ago, increasing revenues would have been the number one priority commercially for most organizations in the UK. If you asked 6 years ago, around the time of the global financial crisis, no question, hands down, it would have been decreasing costs. But what we've seen over the course of the past 12 to 18 months is that increasing customer satisfaction is much more of a priority than it ever was before. And more enterprises recognize that by using CRM, that by leveraging customer relationship management, you're able to do that across all channels, whether it's voice, non-voice, or face-to-face. You know, earlier this week, we had the chance to visit IBA. We had the chance to visit their site in Minsk, myself and Mark Hillary. Very gracious hosts, and we learned a lot. And something that I want to get across is something that came out of the discussions while we were there. And that relates to effectively using big data, applying big data as a means of enhancing CRM. And the bottom line I want to get across, I think there's a laser pointer here, right here. Know your customer. Three simple words. But I think we could all agree that there's so many enterprises out there that just aren't doing it. They're not hitting the ball out of the park the way they need to. And knowing your customer means a whole series of different things. Number one, you've got to collect, as an organization, as much information about your consumers as you possibly can. Whether it's a prospect coming in, whether it's an existing client who's been with you for a year, whether it's an existing client that's been with you for 10 years, it's important to keep the collection ongoing so you can get that well-rounded view of who they are. And then you've got to analyze that information. You've got to figure out, once you've got this profile, how can you best apply the profile? How do you develop the profile? This is a big, big challenge for many organizations who don't understand and don't have the wherewithal in terms of taking this information, collecting it, and then interpreting it. And it's not just about the purchases. It's not just about the prospective purchases. It's also about keeping up to date with the customer, finding out what's going on in their life, and helping drive the profile that way. And an example I wanted to share with you might be somebody who, in 2014, is a university student, first year, going to a university here in the United Kingdom, and who indicates to a cellular telephone or a mobile telephone company that they want to get a package. They need a cellular telephone, the basic one, to get them through university, because students don't have a lot of money. We know that. But what happens when that student graduates? What happens when that student decides it's time to go out and purchase a home? Their income goes up. Their lifestyle changes. Everything about their social network changes. Well, is that individual the same person that they were in 2014, in 2024? No, they're not. And too few organizations are collecting the information to develop an ongoing profile of the consumer, as opposed to just one that perhaps they had when they signed up for the phone originally. A centralized data repository is so, so important. Data needs to be collected across different channels, and it needs to be